Broadcasting live from Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for AGH Radio, powered by Business Radio X.
And we are back with AGH Radio, powered by Business Radio X. We being Stone Payton and Lee Cantor, but we have someone else here that we want to introduce you to as well. From Extreme Solutions, Inc., please welcome to the show, Miss Phyllis Newhouse. How you doing?
I am wonderful. Thank you for having me.
Well, we are delighted to have you mid-afternoon here at AGH Radio. It was starting to hit that little lull, and you've brightened up the room, and we're all anxious to hear about Extreme Solutions. So what kind of problems do your solutions address?
Well, just to give you kind of a snapshot of what we do and an overview, we're a software development company, and our main focus is in the cybersecurity space. So what we do is that we are a company that has a platform of lots of security solutions that deal more with, you know, professional hacking to break into. We basically get into networks, large infrastructures, and tell you how we got in, and then we help you secure the network, whether it's internal or external, pen testing.
So you are paid to hack into people's stuff.
Sounds like a fun job.
Well, I wouldn't say we are paid to make sure that your network is secure. So we do that. We do primarily a lot of our customers are in the federal space. So, for example, we look at a lot of intrusions that are done with, let's say, with just the military hospitals as a whole. And so what we do is that we go in, we do what we call as penetration testing, and we look at activities that, you know, have a potential threat to that network.
And we have bad guys going into the systems of hospitals?
Hospitals.
What do they want to take from that?
What do they want?
Social security numbers.
Is that what? Is that the holy grail they're all after? Social
security? Not necessarily. A lot of times it's social security number, but medical data, studies and analysis. So there's a variety of things that
Does it ever surprise you that the people are hacking in and they're like, why would they want that?
Why would they want social security
well,
numbers?
No, that I understand, yeah, but like they're looking for something, you're like,
well, let's say, for example, you're trying to get here was a case, and this wasn't necessarily the Army hospital, but there was a case out there where someone was trying to get medical data to complete a study.
Right.
So again, if you've got, for example, Agent Orange, and you're doing a study,
right,
and you're able to get, somebody's able to get in the network and get files and historical data for you that otherwise you wouldn't have access to.
Right. Instant clinical trial data.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So anyway, we do that, not just, and we do that across industry, whether it be in the financial industry. For example, there is a bank that had issues in a particular area in Florida. Let's just say in the Florida area, there were ATM machines that were hacked. So our job was really to go in and do a studies and analysis and look at where some of those security breaches were, and then to figure out how we put a layer of security or enhance the security that were already on those particular ATM machines. So what we do, we can do it across industry, whether it be in the auto industry, whether it be in the casino. We do a lot in the Las Vegas area with the network.
So you must be good if you're in the casinos, right? They don't mess around.
Right. Well, a lot of, believe it or not, a lot of it is internal versus external.
One of their employees is hacking it?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah, and you see Taylor's in charge
of the computer.
I know, and
he's in front of our computer now. Now I'm nervous.
Well, you know, and then when you start looking at the amount of people that share passwords and
how many passwords are actually the word password? Do you ever find that?
I'm not really sure what that number, but
it's a big number.
It's a big number. How many people use the same password for everything?
Oh, everything.
So you get it once.
You get it once, and now you can go into all of their email accounts. Yeah, but we And a lot of times organizations now, especially corporations, are going to, which is required password change. So after in the government space, 30 days.
Of time. Yeah.
Right. In 30 days, it requires you. You can't, it will shut you out of the system.
Yeah, but don't they do in. Like password two, password three? Like they.
No, but some of them are requiring special characters. So now you have to go more than just password. So password, dollar, dollar.
So you guys are growing. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
And so how do you, that's a job in itself, managing your own growth and still continuing to provide the same level of service and be nimble and speak to that a little bit.
Well, we've been very fortunate, very blessed. Over the last 4 years, we've had a minimum of 42% growth every year.
Oh, wow.
And we service clients in the commercial space as well as the federal government. So I think over the last 3 years, we've had to go in and rebrand and look at we weren't the same company that we were 3-4 years ago. So, and as we started to offer more solutions, we started to grow, we started to expand in different territories. And so really, where we try to operate is at least 4 years out of where we want to be. And so in terms of marketing, whether it's sales, product solutions. So right now we're really in 2017. We're operating as if we're already in 2017. That's with the growth as well. So and that's why we've been able to maintain that minimum of 42% growth over the last 4 years.
Now, when the company started, what was the vision? Like, where'd you think this was going to take you guys?
Well, you know, I knew that when we first started, we knew we wanted to get into a very niche market. And we looked at where the federal dollars in particular were going to be spent. And the security area was a big area where there were not a lot of women-owned businesses, there were not a lot of minorities, there were not a lot of services-able vet. Mm-hmm. So we wanted to find a space that we could carve out, but also knew that that those spends were going to continue to grow.
Right.
That
you
area.
Figured there'd be more need for security. That's
absolutely.
Not going to be less of that.
Absolutely. And so that's why we focus pretty much on that particular niche area.
Mm-hmm.
So did you have to learn this federal contracting, learn how to navigate that?
That's probably
that
easy,
work?
Right?
You or did you bring somebody on that really knew that?
Well,
at work?
I'm retired military.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so I spent about 22 and a half years in the federal area. So, but it was a whole different ball game coming on this side from the business side.
Right.
So over, I would say the first 5 years, it's overwhelming, you know, just to learn how the federal procurement process. At the same time, we were also doing commercial. So just the marketing strategies were totally different. Mm-hmm. And then understanding all the different federal programs and federal spends for socially economic, you know, groups.
Sure.
So once we understood that piece of it, then it became easier for us to follow the dollar and then navigate and then offer those services in those areas where more of the dollars were being spent.
Now, do you have any tips for people that are interested in learning more about how to engage with the government and try to get some of that business?
Well, what I would say, you know, interestingly enough, I have a lot of people that will come and they think, oh, wow, you're in the federal space, you know, it's guaranteed money. And I will tell you, the federal space is certainly a good area if you have a niche area. It's very saturated with IT companies.
Mm-hmm.
And the bidding process is very competitive. So a lot of times if you're starting out in the federal space, my suggestion would be is that that you start off very small and find large prime companies to team with so that you learn the space.
Right.
A lot of times people want to come in and bid on a contract
just
and
by
win.
Themselves.
Right, and you don't normally have the past performance. You normally don't have the financial stability. You know, the government, there's a lot of set-aside programs in the government space. They set aside programs that are for women-owned businesses. They set aside programs that are just for service-disabled veteran business and just for Indian-owned companies. So I think really my suggestion would be get in, understand the procurement process
right.
first.
Right, so partner with somebody who's already
absolutely.
There.
Absolutely.
Learn and then go out because now you have a track record.
Absolutely.
Well, and imagine how time-consuming, resource-consuming it would be for us, for example. If we right. tried to learn on the fly how to go after federal spend, I mean, we would drive ourselves right into the ground. It's just we don't have the resources to right. to learn that way. That sounds like fantastic advice.
Right, and I would tell you, most companies that get into the federal space, when I first started in the federal space, they down at the Georgia Tech Procurement Center, that's a very good resource because what they do is that they offer free classes. Most of them are about four-hour seminars, and the classes are geared towards it helping you understand federal 101. You know, how do you write a government proposal? How do you bid on or how do you price out a government contract? How do you go after Department of Defense contracts? So all these classes are, but what they all these classes are very good classes for people who are trying to enter the space. But what they tell you when you go to that first class, look around this room. 90% of the people will not come back because it's very
it's
overwhelming.
Hard, right?
And it's yeah. and it's not, people think it's so easy. It's really not that easy.
How many tries did it take you to get your first win there?
I was fortunate because the first contract I've ever bid it on, we won it.
Wow.
And we didn't have a clue to what we were doing, trust me. But that was a learning process for us. And then the second contract we won. Now, we did go after a contract. There was 10 other companies that we bidded with this. They were all large companies, well-known companies. And we were the prime as a very small business. We learned from that as well. We didn't mm-hmm. win that contract. Uh-huh. That gave us a really good understanding of what it takes to win these very large right. government bids. So, again, had we probably teamed with someone from the beginning and had that mentorship relationship,
right, that
I think
helped.
That would have helped.
So before we wrap, I want to circle back to this discussion around you having a much longer horizon, I think, than most people. You mentioned like a four-year horizon. Mm-hmm. Where did you adopt that discipline? How do you keep everyone around you focused on looking that far out? That's going to be a real challenge.
Well, I'll tell you this, and I said this last week to my team of executives. You know, I spent in that 22 years that I spent in the military – the military teaches you how to build an organization, how to be a strategic leader, you know, how to lead an organization, how to have the vision, and how to get people to buy into that. And so that's the easy part. The easy part is, you know, when you strategically set a goal and you have that vision, the leadership comes. That's the easy part. All I had to learn was how do you take those leadership skills and then set revenue goals, and how do you get everybody moving in the same direction there? So what I did was I went out and I found a mentor. That mentor is Janice Bryant. She owns Act One, one of the largest African-American female business owners in the country. That's who was a personal mentor and a business mentor. I had the leadership skills down. I've been there, done that. But what I didn't have was I didn't have the business side. How do you take a company from $1,500 and go to $2 billion? That's what I needed to learn. And how do you focus and how do you stay disciplined to do that? And so with the great mentors, I learned that, you know, you need to find three great business mentors. All of them are going to bring something different to the table. And bringing those mentors in, we've hit that mark every year, 42%. So I think just having a great team of mentors on the business side has helped a lot.
How did you initiate that conversation and get someone to agree to be your mentor? Do you just go, hey, I need a mentor? And then they're like, yeah, sure, I'll be your mentor.
Well, interestingly enough, when I met Janice Bryant, one of the things that we discussed was I initially went out and she was looking at how she could invest in the company from that perspective. And I said, well, I'm not looking for investors, but what I'm looking for is a phenomenal mentor because I knew all the things about her. And one of the things that she told me, she said, in order to sit at the table that you want to be at, you have to bring something to the table. Mm-hmm. And what I knew that I brought to the table was I already know how to build an organization, but I need to know how to make the organization grow. And so those are the things. And so it was a two-way relationship. There were things that I brought to the table from my experience as right. a senior leader in the military that could also help her as a corporate, you know, pioneer as well. So I think that's how I was able to say, you know, here's what I bring to the table. I'm not coming with a handout. You know, I'm coming to say, hey, show me how to do this.
Right.
And that's
Now, are you in the position to be a mentor for others right now?
Yes, and we do. We're mentoring two companies right now in the federal space. They're both women-owned businesses.
Mm-hmm.
We're in a large program with AT&T. It's called Operation Hand Salute. In Operation Hand Salute, there were about 1,500 companies that applied for this program. They only selected 15 of us. And so Extreme Solutions is going to go back and also be a mentor to one of those veteran-owned
nice.
Companies next year.
Is that one of your passions, a veteran-owned?
Yeah, it's a very big passion. You know, when I see a lot of, especially a lot of the soldiers that are in military folks that are getting out and making that transition, I say this a lot. You know, I was one of the fortunate ones. When I got out of the military, you know, I had skill sets that, you know, that I could transition very well. And I think, too, a lot of the veterans that are getting out of the military, you know, they're having a difficult time transitioning because mm-hmm. there's not somebody on the other side to say, hey, I was in the military. Let me tell you how these skills correlate to
right.
what you can do. And so,
right, like they're not starting from scratch. Like they have some great skills. Though.
Absolutely, yeah. absolutely. And we have a veteran hire program within our company. 23% of our workforce is veteran, and then
wow.
we're committed to that. And so we're committed to the screening process. We also have. We know that in this country, a lot of folks are dealing with military folks dealing with post-traumatic stress. So
right.
we've incorporated a program that also will help identify folks that are struggling with that and help, you know, with them in terms of being able to provide resources for help and developing a workforce that has a very diverse workforce to help them
right.
through that
get
process.
Through that.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody wanted to learn more, is there a website?
Yes, that would be www.extremesolutions-inc.com.
What a delight. I'm
yes.
so glad you came and visited with us this afternoon.
Well, thank you.
Thank
I'm
you.
Glad to be here. It's been exciting.
We'll be back in a few with AGH Radio, powered by Business Radio X.